Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurts gives it off to Barkley. He turns the corner. He's on his way. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20. Saquon Barkley, give it to him enough, and he will do just that.
And he did that to the tune of over 175 yards. What a day for Saquon Barkley. What a day for the Eagles. Joining us right now to talk about the best win we've seen around here, at least aesthetically, from the eyes in a long time, is the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, it is a good morning. Good morning, Merrill.
Morning, guys. Great to speak with you. The sun is shining and all is right in Eagles Nation.
Yes, it is. And Merrill, that's led by the running back here, Saquon Barkley, who had a tremendous day yesterday. Most yards per carry in Eagles history on that many carries. I mean, Merrill, he was, we know how great of a player he is. He's been very good so far as an Eagle. But yesterday, I'm not sure if it was or wasn't or it was just the matchup, but it just felt like he had a little extra juice in those legs yesterday, Merrill, as he goes back to New York.
Yeah, it seems that way, but he's a guy who gives you everything he has every single game. And every time he touches the ball, he's a guy who plays with a lot of passion. And, of course, as you mentioned, he is a great, great talent.
Merrill, yesterday, it was, a choppy first quarter. They don't score again. But then once they got going, and it felt like that big run, Merrill, in the second quarter by Saquon is what really turned the game. It felt like it opened up the floodgates for this offense.
You're right. You're right. That did energize them. And then when they needed a little bit more, it was Jalen Hurts going downtown to A.J. Brown. That's almost an unstoppable combination.
It really is. What did you make of that play, Merrill? You know, we were talking earlier about Nick Sirianni, and we'll get more to him and how the team responded to him. But that, I thought that was a turning point in the game. It was a 4th-and-3. It was, around midfield. If Jalen, if that's incomplete, if he takes a sack there, you know, it's only a 7-0 game, and the Giants are set up to at least probably get a field goal attempt. That play felt like the breathing room they needed to go and be off to the races.
It was. It was. And I thought it was a little bit chancy on 4th-and-3 and to throw that deep ball, but it worked. It worked, and that combination is so good. And then when you go back to Saquon Barkley, Mike Quick's been saying this all along, and I second the motion. If you have a great back, and I'm not talking about just a good back, but a great back like a Barkley, and I go back a long time when the Cowboys used to come in and feed the ball to Emmitt Smith, and he'd pick up 2 yards and 3 yards, and you'd say, well, the Eagles have him today, and then all of a sudden, boom, he'd be off running for about 45 yards. These great backs, if you give them the ball enough, eventually they're going to take something to the house.
Merrill, how about the other side of the ball? You know, the defense came into the season. We weren't sure what they were going to be. A lot of youth on that side. And they struggled a little bit that first month. Up and down, they made some plays, but they also gave up a lot of plays. But Merrill, the last two games have been remarkable. 0 touchdowns allowed on the defensive side. Merrill, what are you seeing from this defense? It feels like these guys are turning a corner now under Vic Fangio.
Well, they are. They are. You know, it's a lot to ask early in a season when you don't have that much contact during the preseason, and the regulars don't play at all in the preseason games. So I think it takes time to get up to game speed. But the infusion of the young players, you watch somebody like Quinyon Mitchell, how good he is. And then in the last couple of weeks, we've seen Cooper DeJean, and he is a gem. Boy, he's awfully good, too. And then you see a great game yesterday from Nakobe Dean, and we see the 2-sack game, of course, from Jalen Carter. And they are really coming together. And it's now been 9.5 quarters since this defense has given up a touchdown.
Yeah, and Merrill, they haven't had a pass rush like this. You know, five last week sacks, 8 yesterday. You know, this harkens back to a couple years ago. I don't think they're going to be quite that great and get 70 sacks in a season. But it changes everything, Merrill, when you have a pass rush. Daniel Jones isn't very good, but he didn't have any time yesterday either. I mean, they were getting to him right away and just destroying the Giants' offense.
Well, he still has some mobility, and the Eagles just shut him down. I heard Hugh say a little while ago about the fact that sacks come in bunches. And I heard Vic Fangio say earlier in the season when he was asked about the absence of sacks, he said, you know, before you start getting sacks, you have to be able to stop the run and put them into third and longs. And that's what they've been able to do. And then they just tee off.
Well, they did tee off. Merrill Reese joining us here, the voice of the Eagles after a 28-3 win yesterday over the New York Giants. Merrill, what do you think it says about the team, the way they played yesterday for Nick Sirianni? It was a tough week for him, and there was a lot of criticism, including I was critical the way he was towards the fans last week. But the most important thing is that the players believe in him, and the players are playing for him. And Merrill, I think it's pretty obvious that they've got his back right now.
Yeah, this is a very together team, and they do like him. They do respect him. And that's a good thing. There's a good feeling among these players. You can go in the locker room, you see it. This is a good football team. It really is, and I think we're watching them just come together. Now, of course, they will have a different kind of challenge in Cincinnati than they did in North Jersey. It's a much different type of team, and you've got a lot of dangerous personnel on that team, so it's not going to be an easy game.
It is, and it's going to be a fun one, though. Eagles and Bengals. Burrow against Hurts coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. Merrill, you'll be on the call. We'll be listening. Have a great week and enjoy it. It's a good week around here with the Eagles getting a great victory.
It sure is. The sun is always shining the morning after a win.
Sure is. Thank you, Merrill.
Have a good one, Merrill.
Take care, guys.
There he goes. The voice of Merrill Reese there. And he mentioned the locker room feeling good right now. Hugh, they should feel good. I mean, they just won a game by 25, and that defense... Two straight games not allowing a touchdown. I mean, that's
pretty impressive.
Pretty rare in the NFL.
And that's the thing that you look at the stat sheet and you hang your hat on. And another thing, if it wants to be the rally cry that the media has created these storylines where they're hating on everybody, that's fine. Because I'm pretty sure that was probably a narrative going into this game.
Good.
If that rides us all the way, if you allow that kind of, anger – to get us all the way to Louisiana, I'm cool with that. I'll sit up here and say mean and hurtful things about you for the next couple months if that's going to get me and my man Ike Reese on this road trip to Louisiana. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Listen, I am too. I'm not quite ready to talk Louisiana yet after a couple
wins. I think momentum. It's a momentum thing.
That's great. I mean, I'm not going to shoot you down.
You got to speak it into existence,
I'll let
man.
You dream today. I mean, it's a great win. And let me say this about Sirianni. It's not his job to win me over. It's his job to win the players over.
It's his job to win football games.
Right, and by winning the players over, it'll help him win football games. Like, if they believe in it, his job is to coach them and lead them. Not me, not us. Now, the more he wins, the more he'll win us back over or win you over, depending on where you are in Sirianni. But as long as he has them playing well and prepared and winning like that, he could act as any way he wants. I mean, that was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Nick Sirianni was eccentric, and he was looking, his camera time all the time and yelling at fans in Indianapolis, and nobody here cared because they won, and they won big. Yesterday was the first time in a long time. Really, when was the last time they won a game like this? The title game in 2022 to beat the Niners?
Somebody said, what, Miami? The Dolphins?
Yeah, but even that, you're right on, they did win that game by 14, but I think that game was 17-17 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like
it. It didn't feel like a bludgeoning.
Yeah.
It's like, a dominant Eagles performance when you see one.
It's been a long
time. And
it
felt like they haven't had one since 22.
I think it was the title game when Purdy got knocked out. And even that one, had a little weird asterisk, right, because Josh Johnson was quarterback. It probably was the Giants' playoff win, ironically, over the Giants here 2 years ago. That was the last time they looked that great. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Right. Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing
today?
We're good, Bruce. What's up, buddy?
Man, finally, we got a good game. Yeah, a good game. I mean, and it's just a very good win. I expected a much tighter game, but it was just really pleasing to see the Eagles, because basically what they reverted to was a power running offense, and that's pleasant to see because we all knew that they had the talent to do that when warranted, but it was on pretty good display yesterday. It really was.
So. They got whatever they wanted, and the combination of their offensive line blocking the way they did, Lane and Cam Jurgens on the one where he pulled out and he was running with him, and then just the excellence of Saquon. It's impressive to watch at times.
Absolutely, and then all hats off to the defense. I think what we're seeing on the defensive side is just a steady growth, especially with the like you used to say, the young Thundercats. It was good to see Nolan Smith get a sack. And I forget the guy that we – I'm sorry, I'm stuck on names. The guy that we got from the Jets.
Bryce Huff.
I saw an article on him where he had a conversation that he preferred to use the stance that he was using coming out of that. And I think Bangio kind of, you know, acquiesced to that, and we've seen some improvement on his talent. So I'm going to be looking closely to see, you know, how those two guys perform, because I tell you, I think that Bangio is putting all his pieces together, and we're going to see a more consistent defense going forward, which will be good news for the team. Now, the only thing that, I mean, is we got to get over this first quarter thing and Jalen, I would like to see him step up in the pocket and commit to, look, if they're coming after him, just pick a lane. Get yourself, because he took two sacks where he could have just stepped up in the lane aggressive, a little bit more aggressive. He could have obviously thrown the ball away or just ran the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has to get better at that. And I don't know if it's this other issue of him passing over defenders. You know, the screenplay, you know, he had a bad pass on the screenplay. They need to get better at that.
Yeah, they're bad at screens. I mean, I don't know if it's a Jalen thing or it's a coach thing. You're right, Bruce. They're not good at the screens. Bruce, good phone call. So, Bruce, you know, Bruce mentioned that defense. Are we at the point where we start to realize the defense is a necessity and not a luxury around here?
No, I don't think so.
Excuse me?
I think that what has happened, the defense has been thrust into a role that they are starting to embrace.
As a necessity.
But let me say this, and this is not me poo-pooing. This defense strength is to play with a lead.
I agree. We saw that two weeks in a row.
And that's what I've always been saying. In order for this defense to flex their muscles, if you will, this offense has to put points on the board immediately. That's when the game started to switch. Because as you saw early in that game, if you're looking at it, the Giants were able to move the ball in increments early in the game, but when they started the quarterback trying to drop back and throw, that dog wasn't hunting. Now, what you worry about going into the next games is a team that can control the ball somewhat and keep their defense, keep the Eagles from scoring.
Here's the question, and we won't know the answer till Sunday, and actually for the next – 7 weeks. How much of the last 2 weeks was the quarterbacks they faced, and how much is they're turning a corner?
It's probably a little bit of that.
I'm not taking anything away from them. If you play that well, you deserve credit. They had 8 sacks yesterday. But the last 2 quarterbacks they faced were Watson and Jones, right? The bottom 5-7 quarterbacks in the league, you know, 2 of them.
They held the ball quite a bit, though.
Here's who they're going to see from now until December 1st, okay? They're going to see Burrow, Lawrence, who I don't even think is that good, but he's obviously better than Jones and Watson. Dak, Daniels, Stafford, Lamar. Like, they're about to face, at the worst quarterback they're going to see for the next 7 weeks is Lawrence. And he's obviously better than what they've seen. I mean, that, Kyle, that's going to be the fun thing starting Sunday, to see how much they've really turned a corner, because they're going to see, you know, between now and December 1st, pretty much top 15, top 10 quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, but, I mean, even now, we looked at this defense. We weren't confident that they would be able to even handle the bad offense.
I didn't think they had this in them.
Right. So, just the fact that, and I mean, I thought, the first quarter, the defense was the reason that, you know, the offense does not get moving in the first quarter at all. Mm-hmm. It has to be our defense that steps up and gives us opportunity.
They kept the game 0-0.
They did it in, since week one, the Green Bay game, and they held the Packers to 6 points. They did it with the Browns and the
New
Giants.
Orleans.
The defense is sort of allowing the offense to get off to the slower starts and not have it totally kill them throughout the rest of the game.
And I think part of that has to do with the young cats who got out there, the young Thundercats, man, and being able to play a little bit more press. That's the thing that sticks out to me, is that now you have a young defense, some young defenders that are going to give that defensive line an opportunity to get to the quarterback. That was the biggest difference yesterday. You talk about in that game against Tampa Bay, where basically Baker Mayfield, they were playing off because they were scared to get beat deep. So he was just playing backyard football. And now you see them challenging guys a little bit more, and guys holding the football. That's the biggest difference. Now, if you go into a game, say like this weekend, you got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. You gotta play those guys tight. You gotta take chances. And if they do that, I think that they're gonna eat. N'Kobe Dean played well. And speaking of him in particular, he's better when he's going downhill as opposed to reading and reacting. Reading and reacting. He's better at that.
I think, I know it's not one thing, but the switch from Avante Maddox to Cooper DeJean has been gigantic. I mean, Cooper has played really well. They were cooking Avante. Whoever Avante was covering was just getting open all the time, and Cooper DeJean's not letting that happen. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Dujo, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going on,
Terrence?
Saquon Barkley was a key point in this game. The Kobe Dean and his defense was another key point that won this game. And I'll say Sirianni. I told Kyle, I love the win. Saquon Barkley is a beast. Fangio had his defense balling, man. And I want to say one thing about Quinion Mitchell, man. He's going to be a star in this league. He had neighbors. He was watching neighbors like he was a baby in a crib. He had a blanket over this guy all day. And I feel like we got a bigger child next week. Like you guys are talking about with Higgins and Chase. But I like the direction this young kid is going, and it's only sky's the limit to take over when Slay's out of here. And with that being said, man, Nick Sirianni, I got to see more. I know it was the Giants, but I got to see more wins against teams like you guys were just saying, the Jaguars coming up. We got Dallas. We got the next week. We got Joe Burrow and these guys. And I got to see more from Jalen Hurts. He did complete 10 passes. And our run game was dominant, so it wasn't required for Jalen Hurts to do much. But I do want to see Jalen do a little bit more when we are in them shootout games, if he's not making those mistakes, if he's not turning the ball over. So I do want to see more from Jalen and Sirianni. So it was a great win, but we got the real Slim Shady coming in next week, man, Joe Burrow. And it's going to be a different challenge. He is not no Daniel Jones.
Well, that's for sure. No, it is a different challenge. On the road again in Cincinnati. Terrence, good phone call. Yeah, but we're going to find out. I think specifically the defense. We're going to find out how much has been real and how much is just a little improvement because they're going to face a great quarterback next week. Big V here for the I Told You So. What's up, Big V?
I told you, boy. I told you sitting up here. Do you trust the Eagles to win? You cry, baby. Listen. The best thing I like about this game is the day I don't have to hear all those Philly whiners. It's all Nick's fault. Nobody's crediting Nick for the win. But I gave him credit.
Hold on. And you could say I'm a dummy. Yeah. Hold on. You could call me out. The first thing I said at 10 o'clock is, it's a Sirianni win. I gave him the credit.
He did say that.
Yeah, you did. And I'm sure the people who are listening to you are thanking you for that.
Well, they should.
And, we go from and that was Nick Sirianni getting back to being Nick Sirianni. Go for the fourth down. Play the ball. Play aggressive. Play hungry. He got those young Thundercats motivated. But the biggest credit goes to this radio station. It was so much crap and so much criticism that the team said, no, we ain't going out like that. We're going to protect our coach. They acted like a team Sunday. It wasn't individual showboating and all that stuff. It wasn't all of this craziness. Everybody trying to get their numbers. They played like a team. Defense played hungry. Bryce got off. Somebody found Bryce. Oh, by the way, they got to collect that $5,000 reward for finding him because he was in there doing his thing, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback, getting him to make mistakes, shutting them down. I did predict 24 points, but, you know, I'm happy with it. Hugh, I'm surprised that you're getting all petty over $25. Really, Hugh? $25?
You gotta give him the ball, man. It cost me $20. Cost me two whole dollars,
not
man.
Not one person watching yesterday said, let's throw the ball more. Hey, except Hugh Douglas.
Cost me two whole dollars.
But I'd say it was a simple fact that, you know what, they said, okay, we're not going out like this. It's time to turn it around. It's time to be the team that we know we can be. And they were operating on a level of excellence. And I attribute that to all the haters because nobody makes you bring your A game better
than your haters.
Well, then, Big V, you're welcome. I mean, you and
make your haters your motivators.
You are welcome.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
I kept it real last week and they responded. So
I make
you're
my
welcome.
Haters my motivators.
That's right.
Me too. That's what I do. And the more that we do that, the better we're going to be. I still got them for 13 wins. Yeah, quote me. I'm sorry, 14 wins. Yeah, go ahead, quote me. And I will see you guys in New Orleans. I'm starting to buy my tickets right now.
Oh, how about that?
We're going to hit the Buc-ees.
Hopefully, yeah. Make sure those are, just in case, make those refundable. You don't want to.
No, we're going to hit the Buc-ees, though, on the way down. We just ain't. We were sitting the other day, a couple of days ago, we trying to chart our route.
Not us, you.
Well, yeah. Well, Ike was looking, too.
Yeah, I like how.
Because he ride with me.
It's a great win, and we have life in this season, and they're going to be in this the whole way, and that's great. But, I mean, we're talking about the Super Bowl after Bowl.
Hey, man, listen.
After a win over
you gotta speak it into existence.
Browns and Giants, Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to speak it into existence.
All right.
So we were trying to figure out whether or not we were going to go through, because I want to go through Georgia.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, because I know.
Well, you got to pick up some stuff, don't you?
Well, I know where the Buc-ees is going that way.
Yeah.
I was talking about cutting over through Tennessee and all this other stuff.
It seems like Georgia's out of the way to get to New Orleans from here.
It kind of is, but you know, I don't think there's a Buc-ees the way that I know going through Tennessee.
I mean, can't you just look it up?
I really don't want to go through that much of Mississippi.
Well,
to be totally honest,
I'm not going
to
fight you on that one.
Mississippi look different. Look different than Mississippi.
Boy, no one ever says WIP doesn't react. He was mapping his route to the Super Bowl after a win over the Giants. 215-592-90.
I've been mapping this route for months. I have an agenda.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. This guy complaining over Devontae Smith's targets in a 28-3 win.
Hey, man, he should have touched the rock a little bit more.
Why? Joe was taking sacks every time he threw the ball.
I missed my parlay by one.
Nobody cares about
parlay. I know they don't.
We care about wins. Yesterday was a Saquon day.
Y'all the ones that got me betting. What
you went
about?
0-100, dude.
Wait a minute, but y'all the ones that got me betting. So now you mad? Now you mad that I bet?
Yes. Hugh cares more about his parlays than he does wins.
I got $30. I won $30 this weekend.
Listen,
these $2 bets are starting to pay off.
You're gonna learn something as you bet more.
What's that?
The L's hurt. You have to just move on. I mean, they hurt.
No, not really.
Yeah, that 30 is going to be gone soon, buddy.
Hugh,
it's not. I'm up right now.
That means the down is coming.
That's right. Every NFL bettor is up at some point. And guess what happens? You go
but
right
I'm up
back
right
down.
Now. What's that Drake song? But I'm up right now. I'm up right now,
What do you give this 3 weeks, Kyle, till he comes in here and he's like, I'm never doing this again?
Oh, he is. Yeah. it's about to take its toll.
I started off really well this season. Last 2 weeks, I've gone in the tank. It happens. You live, you move on, you go to the next week. All right, 215-592-9494. It's fun no matter what. All right, your call's coming up. Howard Eskin at noon. I'm guessing Howard's going to be on the Sirianni victory tour today. We'll let him have it today. Good game yesterday by Nick Sirianni. Plus, coming up on the other side, along with your calls, a big Hugh breakdown. Is this pass rush and D-line actually turning a corner? What is Hugh seeing? That's next. Your calls as we react to a great Eagles victory, 28-3 over the Giants. The Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Enjoy all the NFL action with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on a game this week. Look, there's so many different areas that it's fun to hop in on. The Parlay Hub, where Hugh hangs out now. Popular bets, FanDuel Squares. I love the futures section. You know, you can get an 80-1 on a certain running back here in Philadelphia to win the NFL MVP. 80-1? I might jump on it. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the N.
Daniel Jones is sacked for the fourth time. They got him again. Fourth time today, and that was Jalen Carter.
The fourth of eight. What a day for that pass rush. Big Hugh breakdown coming up in a few minutes here on what happened yesterday. 215-592-9494 as the Eagles go up to New York and crush the Giants 28-3. I give the most credit to Nick Sirianni. They responded to him. They were prepared yesterday. No turnovers, a few penalties, 270 rush yards. And look, the first quarter was still choppy offensively. I get that. But they found what worked, and they stuck to it yesterday, and they played a great football game. There's the Saquon angle. I mean, that was the ultimate, like, screw you to the Giants and Joe Shane and, of course, John Mara.
Bam.
And then, of course, there is that defense that played really, really good football. Josiah in Warrington is up. Hey, Josiah.
What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Hugh?
Josiah, what's up, pal?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, I just want to give you all my takeaway from the game, man.
What do you think?
All right, so first things first, going into the game, I thought, you know, in the first 6 weeks, the biggest issue with our offense is we didn't establish our main pitch, our fastball, right? And if you look back at the 2022 season, the main cause of us winning was we was able to run the ball. Jalen protected the ball, and he threw the ball downfield efficiently. I know, Hugh, you alluded to you want the receivers to get more touches and whatnot, but our winning formula is running the ball, leaning behind our dominant offensive line. We get a lead, pin the errors back, and we can rush the passer. And the biggest difference is, the biggest thing is, I think our secondary now is younger and faster. Cooper DeJean, rallying to the ball, tackling. Quinyon Mitchell? I mean, I'm going into the game. Who was saying neighbors, 80 plus yards, neighbors? He's going to go off, have a big game. That's all people was talking about was Malik Neighbors. What Q do? Seatbelt, strap. So, you know, I think that is the winning formula. Run the ball, keep physical, and then later on in the game we can throw the ball downfield, right? And you know, Jalen doesn't have to be this run around, make a big play, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. You know, we don't need that. We need him to play winning football. So that's my takeaway.
I agree. I thought yesterday was the perfect formula for the Eagles. They didn't throw the ball that much. They ran it a lot. They got a lead. They got after the quarterback. I thought yesterday if the Eagles could draw it up and they could win, that's the way to do it. I thought that was it. I know, Hugh, down the line, not every game's going to play out that way, right? They're going to have games where they're going to have to throw the football more.
Yes.
But yesterday felt like it was the right formula, not just for that game, but if they could draw it up and do it a certain way every week and it work, I would choose yesterday.
Well, I look at it like this, and you're right, but they played to that team's weakness yesterday. And if we're being honest, that's the first time that I've seen them do that since I've been on this radio show, the fact that they've played to a team's weakness.
And actually, if we're being real, did they even really do that in the first quarter, or did they?
No, they were forced into it.
Because they tried to throw, and Jalen was taking sacks left and right.
Yes. They still tried to go with their tried and true formulas. Let me be clear. When I said something about giving the ball to Devontae Smith, because I know we got some people that get super sensitive, especially on a Monday, it was tongue in cheek.
I know you wanted to win a parlay.
I wanted to win a parlay, man. So y'all can calm down. And you know, I'm not bashing the Eagles today. I was just trying to add some levity to the show. But you know, some truth too, because I missed that $20. That was an easy 20 I could have made.
I gotta be real with you. Nobody cares. They won by 25.
But you have to, there has to be some threat to run a game. And I tell you what happened yesterday. Teams are on notice now because they know that the Eagles have the ability to run the football. So that in turn makes this team more balanced. It's almost like going into this next game, what are you going to try to stop? So now I haven't did any advanced scouting, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals' run defense is that great.
So their defense early in the year was terrible. They've gotten better the last 2 weeks.
They're starting to get better.
But with them, it's funny. They, I believe their last two games are Giants-Browns, just like us. Just
okay,
not,
we, so, there, we, so we, there's some meat on that bone there.
There's a subplot to Sunday. Are the Bengals and Eagles defenses really getting better, or do they both just get to play the Browns and Giants the last 2 weeks?
So now this is where it becomes interesting, people, because now this is a chess match. With Saquon Barkley rushing on the ground for 176 yards, now you have to ask yourself as a defensive coordinator, what am I going to try to stop? Two things happened in this game yesterday. A.J. Brown beat you deep for a touchdown, and Saquon Barkley ran all over you.
Mm-hmm.
So now it becomes, okay, Coach Moore, how are you going to attack that Bengals defense? And I'm going to tell you this, and I know we're still in Victory Monday, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we got a whole week to talk about this game coming up. But now, Coach Moore, it becomes more of a chess match because how are you going to go into this game? Are we going to go into this game trying to establish the passing game early or the run game? And to me, let me tell you, as a former defender, the one thing that if you establish it early, even if you don't get a whole lot from it, it still comes back to reap huge benefits in the second half. You got to establish the running game.
And I think the reality is they're just a better running team than a throwing team right now.
Yes.
I mean,
And ain't nothing wrong with that because you still got plenty of season left to throw the football. I remember vividly, man, playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't remember. I think it was was it 2000, something like that. But Jerome Bettis was playing. I remember for the first half, we shut Jerome Bettis down for the most part. Boy, I tell you, when that halftime rolled around, you go in there and you get a little rest. And you come back out there and you're trying to tackle that big man, that it changes things. So that's you need to play more chess now because you got a workhorse running back that has probably gonna get fined again this week. He got fined $45,000 last week for that hit.
He did.
Oh, he about to get they probably gonna hit him for 100 yams this week. Cause the way he disrespected that DB on the sideline and dropped his shoulder, yeah, he about to get fined again.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
I think there's and you said it earlier in the show, the Eagles' DNA is they want to throw the ball more, and they tried in the first half yesterday, first quarter. It didn't work. They're getting sacked a lot, not going anywhere. And they did make the big play to A.J. down the field. I mean, they made that was a really big throw and a game-changing throw and play. But they're better right now running the football. The passing game is choppy. It feels like big play or sack. That's just a choppy offense right now when they throw the football. The run game is that's where the explosion's coming from. And that was an explosive run day yesterday. And especially, you know, because they have to play three more games now without Mailata. Fred Johnson was not good in pass protection yesterday, but he was good against, you know, running the football. Keep going with it. Let's go to Russ in Freehold. What's up, Russ?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Yeah, listen, as a fellow bettor who likes to throw a little money around, you can't ever bet on the Eagles because that's going to break your heart twice when they lose and they don't win, or you're not going to be able to fully enjoy the win. So you just don't bet on your teams. That's like the number one rule.
But I won yesterday betting on the Eagles. I just didn't hit that part.
Well, you won one and you lost one. Yeah
but I went 50-50. I'm okay with that. But okay. It would have been nice if I'd have got them all. I mean,
the longer your bet, 50-50 is what it all kind of equals out.
The house always wins. We got you.
Oh, somebody told me a long time ago, you bet with your heart, and you bet with your head. You're going to die if you bet with your heart. So you don't bet with your heart. Just go with what you see. Having said that, I watch other teams play because I'll throw a dollar on a game just to make it interesting. So I want to watch a Jets game or something like that. But what I notice is when you have a good team roster-wise, which I think we do, you have a good quarterback, we'll get back to that, and you have good coaching, also questionable, the things look the same. You have consistency. The Eagles refuse, for whatever reason, to throw the ball over the middle. Every shot.
Oh, they did. They did a little bit yesterday. They did a little bit of that yesterday, which was surprising. But yeah.
I saw this last year, though, or in previous years with Julio Jones. You throw a guy in the fourth. Receivers got to get started early. They got to touch the ball. Even if it's for a 3-yard pass, at least get them involved in the game. Because when a guy's run 20 routes and a ball hasn't come his way, you know, he kind of loses the interest. Maybe the defender knows the ball's not coming his way and they're playing off. But eventually they're going to stack the box and double AJ, and the run's not going to happen. So I don't know if you watch the Lions game, but that's what an offense looks like when it's clicking, because they're doing whatever they want at will. And I think Jalen, for that mesh concept, we got to throw other passes to other guys besides it. Get the tight end involved.
and that'll open up the run. I mean, Saquon averaged 10 and change a carry yesterday. That's not going to happen every week. I mean, and I don't want to give Nick too much credit either, because he did exactly what you're supposed to do to the Giants. If they laid a 40 on them spot and they were sitting on a bench at halftime or whatever, it'd be one thing. But you're supposed to beat that team. You're supposed to beat the Browns. Now, the Bengals have a bad defense, but we still need to get some of those things established next week. Hurts is holding on to the ball too long. I don't care what anybody says. That's got to change, and he's got to be able to throw the short passes.
He does. I agree. Well, he is holding the ball too long. I mean, those sacks early in the game were ridiculous. And, Russ, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, I think Russ is probably more critical than most today and more real about things than most, because we're just excited they won a game that much. He's not wrong in a lot of those things. I mean, the reason I give Sirianni credit, yeah, he did the obvious, but the Eagles hadn't done the obvious in a while. And the team is still playing for him. That's got to mean something. Like, there are certain coaches in the NFL that may not be, you know, there's only so many Kyle Shanahans and Andy Reids that are true difference makers, X's and O's wise. Then there's a lot of coaches that are good coaches or decent coaches, but their players play really hard for them and they're buttoned up. I think of John Harbaugh. I think of Mike Tomlin. I think of Dan Campbell. I don't know week to week how much difference Dan Campbell's making X's and O's wise, but the theme of the week, the way how hard that team plays for him, they run through a wall. Like, that's got to be with Sirianni's angle. And I questioned that the way they had started games, and I questioned it last week because I wondered if they're just rolling their eyes at this guy and just giving us platitudes when they talk. No, they backed it up yesterday, Kyle. They played for him, and that means something. Yeah, now, I don't know if that means they're going to win the Super Bowl, but it gives the season life.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do the "it was just the Giants" thing when Friday, I feel like half the city was, or more than half the city, was not convinced that the Eagles would be able to even beat the Giants in a game. They kicked their ass, and it was the most, because it was never about the Giants. It was about the Eagles and how they hadn't been able to put together a complete football game in over like a calendar year. So the fact that they were able to do that, I just feel like everybody needs to sort of just take a little bit of a breather when you're doing the whole "it was the Giants" thing, because we haven't seen the Eagles even dominate a bad team like that in a long time. This was about the Eagles taking a step in a positive direction, finally.
Yeah, and you got to start somewhere, man. I look at the fact that, and this is natural to do too, especially after win. You have to ask yourself, what changed? Because to me yesterday, the biggest thing that stood out to me is the fluidity of what it seemed like the offense had yesterday. Like the adjustments that were made on the fly.
Was that because they were running the ball?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I mean, and I think, but as a fan, and this is the unfortunate thing about it, as an analyst, after all, the tumultuous week that we had, you tend to wonder what was the biggest difference. Like, something changed from last week to this week. And I don't need to know what it is. I'm speculating. I don't need to know. As long as it gets us the results that we want, I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, I still wonder. I'm still wondering. It's just that, you know how I would say to my daughter, there are certain things that, like certain questions that I would never ask my daughter because I don't want the answer to. Like when she started dating, I didn't want to know whether or not she was having sex, so I'd never ask. It was just one of those things, like, I'm not prepared for the answer, so I'm not going to ask.
You don't want to know the answer.
I don't want to know an answer, so I never ask. But that is kind of the same thing with this. As long as they're winning, I don't care what they're doing. As long as they're winning, that's it.
Maybe this is the theme of the next Sirianni press conference. As long as you're winning, we don't care. We don't want to know. Just do it again. All right, here's what we do know. 8 sacks yesterday. Let's get to a little Big Hugh breakdown. What did he see from that pass rush? Hugh? Are they turning a real corner here? What
it feels
seeing?
Like they're turning a corner, man. And I think they bought into the fact that, you know, they talked about how you have to earn the right to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of looked like yesterday. They played physical up front. I just want to give a little shout out to Jordan Davis, because he's a guy that really didn't show up in the stat sheet a whole lot, but his presence in the middle kind of made it a little bit easier for everybody to do what they did. Jalen Carter was the star of the show yesterday. And I want to give a shout out to my man Bryce Huff. It looks like he's starting to get a little bit more comfortable in doing things with his pass rush that's allowing him to get to the quarterback. He still rushed from a 2-point sometimes, but then when he got down, you could tell that there was a huge difference there. Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean really was the one that got the party started. Whatever they did with him, he timed the blitz he timed some pretty good blitzes yesterday. And I think in order for this team to have that kind of success, they have to be able to play with somewhat of a lead, or they have to be a little bit more aggressive up front. And it just felt to me like they knew what they were supposed to be. The corners played a little bit more press coverage to allow them to get to the quarterback. And it just looks like it's starting to come together. I know I was real hard on Coach Fangio last week, and I still am, because you have to figure out a way to get guys involved and get them to play better. It looks like, you know, for whatever reason, he heard the show or he got the memo, and they're starting to play better for him. They really are.
So your guy, Bryce Huff, generated 5 pressures yesterday in his first 5 games. 2 pressures. He had 5 pressures after having 2 the first 5 games of the season. That was a big day. And I got to tell you, for the first time in his career, I'm seeing something with Nolan Smith now.
Looks like he can play at this level.
So last week he had the big play late in the game where he forced Deshaun Watson out of bounds. I thought that was a really athletic play by him to get over there and make that play and prevent Watson running in for a touchdown. And then yesterday, Hugh, on the one sack he had, he didn't just run around a tackle. He looked like he jacked that tackle up.
They're playing with their hands a lot more,
at
Joe.
At his size, you wonder, could he do that in the NFL? And I know that guy, that left tackle for the Giants, probably will be
garbage.
Out of the league in 2 weeks. But still, he played left
tackle. I take that back. He's not garbage.
He might be. He might
come
be.
On, Hugh.
No, I've been hanging around y'all too long.
No,
man.
He might be out of the league
that's
in
good.
2 weeks.
I'm
but regardless, I don't care if he's a real player or not. Nolan Smith did that to a guy that yesterday was employed in the NFL. That's good.
Yes. And I feel like they're starting to have spatial awareness. And what I mean by that, playing with their hands, using their leverage. You don't have to be the biggest guy out there playing against an offensive lineman that's already backpedaling at a disadvantage as you pass rush. You just have to understand angles and leverage. And it feels like they're starting to do that. I saw a couple times Bryce Huff getting back to his hop-out move a little bit. This is a process, man, especially when you talk about a young man that was normally just a pass rush specialist that you're asking to play on every down. So, you know, shout out to Coach Fangio. As well as I can give it out, I can give him his props. And they look like they're starting to play for him, look like they're starting to turn the corner. And next week's going to be a bigger test with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Tied for 4th in the NFL now in sacks per game. I know these have come in bunches, right? The last 2 weeks they have 13.
Sacks come in bunches.
I don't know. This defense is starting to turn a little corner here. I mean, you know, defense, which is absolutely not a luxury, but clearly a necessity here.
Well, in this case, because this offense is underperforming, in my humblest
so
opinion.
It's a necessity.
It's almost like there's multiple units on a football team, and, you know, well, no, some of them need to pick up the other as a necessity.
Let's be honest,
uh-oh,
shall we?
Uh-oh.
And honestly, that's the only thing I do on this show is be honest. Nobody thought that this defense would be trending in the direction that is trending right now, correct?
Correct.
We thought they would be a middling defense.
And they still might, I mean, let's.
And it still might be the case.
Let's take a timeout. The next 6 quarterbacks they play are all better than what they've seen. So if I had to guess, they're going to be at the end of the year closer to that middle of the pack, but that's okay.
That's okay. That is okay. This defense has been thrust into a position where they have to play a little bit better than we anticipated them early in the season.
So they're,
I mean,
not
they're
a
stepping
luxury.
Up to the plate. No, they're not. They are a luxury. It's not, you don't have to have it, but it was like, yeah.
Everything that you've said is disproven that
no,
it's a luxury.
No, it's not disproven.
Yes, it's like a Harvard study over here.
It is not disproven. Y'all just want to act like it is, but my point is still stands.
No, it's not. You're just being stubborn for no reason.
No, I'm not being stubborn.
The take is dead.
I'm being factual.
No, you're not.
This take is not dead,
Kyle.
Yes, it
is. We're having a funeral for it soon.
It's not. No, you just want to have a funeral. You want that take to be the first one. It's not.
If this defense was bad, they'd be in trouble.
Yeah, they're not 4-2 without this defense.
If the defense was bad, they'd be in trouble.
This defense has saved their bacon a few times.
Because, that's the whole point.
Because
that's a necessity, Hugh.
This offense is pedestrian as opposed to what it was supposed to be.
That's how football works, isn't it? Sometimes not everything's clicking for you. And you need the other unit to pick you up.
Now you're about to make me take the joy away from all the people.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
That enjoyed this win.
No, why? Just because you're being stubborn about your take?
Do not back me into a corner, Kyle Quinn.
Your take has backed you into a corner. It's wrong.
You do not want me in this corner. I will defend myself.
Oh, boy. All right. This is going to sound like Howard was in a corner last week. And he's going to come out swinging today at 12 because his guy Sirianni got a victory. Fabian in Miami. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Fabian?
Hey, Hugh, I agree with you, Hugh, man. They should have gave Devontae the ball, man.
I mean.
Did you bet on him, too?
No, I had him in my fantasy.
Oh, see, there it is.
We got ulterior motives over
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, Saquon, man, that dude's a beast, man. You know, and like I said, I'm glad that they established a run, and I hope this team starts to understand that that's their identity, is running the ball. Because once you do that, then everything else opens. I mean,
kind of falls into place. Yeah, it does feel like it falls into place.
I mean, unfortunately for yesterday's game, you know, they didn't have to really throw the ball. They just run the ball over, all over, man. You know, and like, if it was a good game by Saquon, I'm glad. And just that mentality, like you said, that he said, you know, let the other guys eat, man. I think that's real big of him.
I agree with you, Fabian. That was pretty cool. And I think it probably helped take Sirianni off the hook for a tough decision because, you know, when you have he's not old, but he's older running back. That
you don't want to wear him. We don't want to wear him
you
out.
You don't want to get him hurt, right? Yeah. If they had him out there, Fabian, late in the fourth quarter to try to set a personal record and he hurts his ankle, Sirianni's getting crushed today. Like, I actually think it kind of helps Sirianni not have to put him back out there, right? Because if he's like, yeah, I want to break my record, he's going to let him play. So I think it was a great show of team, being a good teammate.
Camaraderie.
Favorite. Yes.
Yeah, and Quinyon, man, like, you know, I know everybody's giving him his props today, man, but the dude is a beast, man. Yeah. Like, when he had that one where he basically ran the route for the receiver, I would have liked to have seen him caught that ball, but, I mean, you know, even if a receiver gets a catch on him, he doesn't sit there and dance around him. You know, he goes, he makes that tackle, man. You can tell he likes to hit, and I don't know if you guys seen yesterday, but did y'all see when DK walked that one cornerback, man, with one hand, blocking
yeah,
it all the way to the end?
I saw that.
Man.
Did you see his pants?
You don't wear
plush pants the way that he wore and not have a good game that stands out. Mm. He little boy, that DB on the sideline.
No, it's a good call, Fabian. We appreciate it. You know, we just discussed the defense quickly there with the Big Hugh breakdown, and we'll see where they end the season. Again, they're going to play a lot of good quarterbacks over the next 6-7 weeks. But you know what I'm seeing the more we watch them?
What's that?
I see the bones of a good defense moving forward. We'll see how good they are the rest of this season. But
yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean.
Young guys.
I mean, obviously, Jalen Carter.
Thundercats.
Nolan Smith, who's finally showing something. Well, you know, Bryce Huff obviously is going in the right direction. He couldn't have got worse compared to where he was to start the season. They've got some players here. And we saw Sidney Brown on the field at the end of the game. I'm excited to see him get more time out there.
Only way to go is up.
They've got a lot of youth on the defensive side. If Vic Fangio can get this defense to play well, I'm not even asking for great, because last week's have been great. But if he can get them to play well the rest of the season, it's going to mean a lot, not just for this year, but just for the future moving forward as well. Let's talk to Violet in Virginia. Hey, Violet. Violet?
Violet. Yeah, hey, sorry.
Oh, you good? Moment.
What's up, Violet?
Hey, sorry, guys. I was cleaning.
All good. What are you feeling?
I have to get ready for work. No, nothing. I just wanted to say I was really, really happy yesterday watching them. It's been a long time since I was actually excited to watch a game. Hello?
Well, we're here. Letting you cook, Violet. Well, you know what? I understand.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
We haven't had a win like that in a long time. It's hard to know how to react. Was that good?
It's one of those ones you just kind of, you know.
I loved the fact that we used both running backs. I loved the defense. I thought was really on point. The kid from Georgia, oh, my God, he's turning it on. And actually, I thought Jalen had a great game. I know it was a slow start, but I felt like he didn't act like he needed to do it all. I thought he made smart decisions, and that run was amazing. I really think yesterday was an all-around great game for the defense and offense, and I think it's just the push that we need in the right direction.
Well, it feels like, and Violet, we appreciate the phone call. I wouldn't say Jalen was great yesterday, but he was good enough. Good enough.
And he was serviceable.
I think what we're seeing is
he was better than serviceable.
He was better than serviceable. I would say he was solid.
Solid.
And
that'll work. I think
we're watching him make a real conscious effort not to turn the football over, to the point where I think he's probably taking sacks instead of throwing the ball into coverage. So it's that balance he's trying to find. 215-592-9490 for coming up. Howard Eskin's victory lap. He had Sirianni's back all week last week among the firestorm. Howard next. His take on the win, your calls, and we'll keep playing some post-game audio throughout. Eagles win. Who do you give the most credit to?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.